So in starting in verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. Now, how does it mean that all sinned? It's this simple. Adam walked with God. Now, I want you to pay attention to Genesis chapter 3. Or Genesis chapter 2, rather. I'm sorry. God created man from the dust of the ground, a physical part. That's your body. Breathed into him the spirit of life. That's your spirit. And it says man became a living soul. Now, the living soul is a combination of spirit and body. The purpose of the spirit is for communion with God, because God is spirit. But what happened when man sinned? God cannot dwell with sin. As long as a man was plugged into God, he was renewed. That flesh and blood body is just like ours, except it was renewed consistently. But the minute that he was cut off from God because of sin, by the Spirit, he could no longer commune with God, and so that body is no longer renewed. And corruption sets in. Hold on just a second. So, when Adam was cut off from God, he could no longer commune with him. Corruption set into that body. That corruption is sin. Through Adam's disobedience, corruption came in, because we were cut off from God. It's just like when an apple tree flings its fruit. If somebody doesn't eat that apple, it starts to rot. And that rotting starts on the inside and works its way to the outside to bring forth death. So, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. If you were born of corruption, then your nature is corruption. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account where there is no law. And this is the point. When we read in Romans chapter 2, we see these two things. It tells us that the Gentile, apart from the law, that sins apart from the law, will perish apart from the law. And the Jew, who is judged by the law, will perish by that law's judgment. See, where there was no law, there was no sin. The Gentile is still dying because of sin, but sin is not identified. It's not taken into account. It is the law that identifies sin. Let me read you this from chapter 7. We would only know what sin was by the law. What shall we say then? Verse 7. Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. Now, this is the advantage the Jew had. To him was given the law. The law identified that corruption inside you by your actions. The law, for example, said, it is wrong to covet. Now, you didn't know what coveting was. Your conscience was corrupt. See, what was wrong to you and what was wrong to me may be two different things, because our consciences are corrupt. So God gave us a law, an absolute law, written in stone. This is what a perfect man will be. This is what I expect from a man. This is a man who pleases me. He will not covet. So we've seen in the law, the Jews, this is their advantage. They've seen through the law that coveting is sin. They go, oh, I didn't know that, so I'll stop coveting. They tried to stop coveting and found out they couldn't. This identified sin in them. It identified sin through its actions. Now, to those actions, which are called transgressions of the law, a penalty was added, death. And this is what it means, by those who are judged by the law will perish by the law's judgment. The penalty is death for sin. This is God's way of showing you that sin ends in death. But you see, with the Gentile, there was no penalty. And the people from Adam all the way until the time of Moses before the law was given, there was no penalty because where there's no law, there's no sin. In other words, sin is not identified. But everybody was still dying, weren't they? Because sin was still in them, corruption, a nature, and killing them. So it's only through the law that we see that nature, and we can only see it through its actions and its eventuality, death, the penalty. Once we see we have sin, we see our need for a Savior. That's the advantage the Jew had too. They seen that God would have to redeem them because they could not redeem themselves. So, when we read it all together, therefore just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin was not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. So if you are dying, if death is reigning over you, we know that death is only a consequence of sin. By the law, it's the penalty, but by just your life, it's the eventuality. All born in Adam are born into sin, corruption. The transgression of the law identifies that corruption in you. But that corruption is the nature, and that's what we got to deal with. The law can only show you that nature through the actions. Jesus puts to death that nature through the cross. That's what we learn. So nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command. You see, sin is still going to kill you whether you actually do an act of sin or not, because sin is still in you. It's corruption. It's a nature. You see that? Even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus, overflow to the many? In other words, if Adam, who's not from heaven, he's a man. I'm sorry, these interruptions. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by that grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? In other words, if one sinful act of a man who's not from heaven can kill us all, how much more will the grace that comes through one act of righteousness of a perfect man from heaven overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. Jesus is the answer to the law. Only the blood of Jesus can justify us. And this shows us the redemptive power of his blood as an innocent man. For if by the trespass, and the law is what judged him innocent, for if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? See, in this way, Adam was a figure, a pattern of the one is to come. You can see this twisted mirror, how this physical represents the spiritual. If through one act of disobedience all men die, then through one act of righteousness by a perfect man, all men can be made alive. So you see how Adam is a figure of he who was to come. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. Notice it says for all men. Will it actually be all men? No. It's to whoever receives it. It's for all men, but not all men will receive it, will they? For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, that many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. The law was added so that the trespass might be increase. The law was there to show you that what sin is. And when you've seen sin in your life, see, before you thought it was natural. They thought death was natural. Adam's children and his children's children and so forth became to think of death as natural. But death is a consequence of sin. So the law was added so we could see that death is not natural. It is a consequence of sin. The law was added so that the trespass might increase, so that sin would become utterly sinful. But where sin increased, in other words, in our minds, we've seen the overwhelmingness of sin we couldn't escape. Grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want you to see the way it's using grace and sin. If life is the opposite of death, and Jesus here in this case is the opposite of Adam, and so grace is the opposite of sin. Sin cuts us off, and God's grace brings us back. Sin works its way to death, and grace works its way patiently to life. Can you see that? Sin says you have no favor in God's eyes. Grace says you have favor you didn't earn in God's eyes. Jesus earned it. Through one man, we all found disfavor in God's eyes. Did you know that disfavor is sin, and it is the opposite of grace? That disfavor is sin? Sin is God's disfavor. And grace is God's unmerited favor. You didn't earn it. Who's the one who merited that grace? Jesus. So through one man we have disfavor, and the other man we have unmerited favor. And his disfavor brings us all separation from God, which causes death to be separate from life. So through grace we're joined to life, and that becomes life itself. So what shall we say then, it says? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? Because it says where sin abounded, grace did all the more abound. Where God's disfavor abounded, it abounded to all men. Because Jesus is the man from heaven, grace much more abounded. So shall we go on sinning that grace may abound? No. That's silly, isn't it? How can we live to what we died with? Or don't we know? It goes on to tell us that we were baptized with Jesus into his death. We have to die to Adam. We have to die to the flesh in order to share with Jesus in his life of the Spirit, don't we? Because we no longer bear the image of the man who brought us all to death. Through Jesus' death, we bear the image of the man who brought us all to life. And to say that we bear the image of the man is not to continue in grace. That's to continue in sin. Can you see that? We must exchange the image. One image must die so that the other can take hold. This is a good place to stop for a moment. I'll take any questions or comments.